Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I'm Lieutenant Commander Margaret Woodbridge, the Cetacean Desk Program Manager here at Sector Puget Sound. The opening of the Cetacean Desk introduces a new, important way for the Coast Guard to contribute to regional whale protection and recovery as we all work towards a shared vision for reducing the impacts of vessel traffic on local whales. We're honored to have Senator Cantwell and District Director Casey here today, as well as Rear Admiral Fossey, Commander of Coast Guard District 13. We are grateful to have you all here today so we can celebrate the official launch of the Cetacean Desk with so many of the people who are instrumental in making it what it is today and will help us evolve it into the future. This is just the start of this pilot program, so thank you. We're excited to hear some remarks this morning from our Sector Commander, Captain Mark McDonald, Lynn Berry from NOAA, Vice Chairman Chad Beauchamp of the Macaw Tribe, Laura Blackmore, Executive Director of Puget Sound Partnership, and Senator Marie Cantwell. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Captain Mark McDonald, Commander of Sector Puget Sound. Captain McDonald assumed the duties of Commander Sector Puget Sound in June 2023, where he leads over 600 active duty, reserve, civilian, and auxiliary personnel conducting Coast Guard missions, including search and rescue, pollution response, commercial vessel and facility compliance, law enforcement, and port security over 3,500 miles of federal waterways. Captain McDonald.
Good morning and welcome to Sector Puget Sound. I'm very proud to have an outstanding Coast Guard team that serve with me that protect, save, and defend maritime interests here in the Sound. Together, that team helps protect over 3,500 square miles of waterway used for transportation, commerce, subsistence, and recreation. This is a special day in the five-decade history of Puget Sound's vessel traffic service. Today, we celebrate the launch of the Cetacean Desk with an amazing and dedicated group of people with mutual interest in protecting cetaceans here in the Puget Sound region. So we're honored today to be joined by Senator Cantwell. Thank you, ma'am, for your presence, whose work in the 22 Don Young Coast Guard Authorization Act brought this pilot program to fruition. We have District Director Ryan Casey representing Representative Larson's office, Vice Chairman Beauchamp from the Macaw Tribe, and we also have Mr. Gerald James from the Lummi Nation. Thank you for joining us. Admiral Fossey, the 13th District Commander and my boss, thank you for joining us, sir. We also have representatives from our federal and state partners, many of them we work with day in and day out here at Sector Puget Sound, and we're grateful for their presence and support. We have Mr. Steve Metrick from the Port of Seattle. Sir, thank you for joining us. And we have Ms. Patty Robstello from the Washington State Ferries. I think Patty joined us here. Lastly, our Canadian colleagues from Transport Canada and the Canadian Coast Guard. We have Danielle Wensauer and Steve Taylor. Great partners and really an integral part of standing up the Cetacean Desk. So thank you for your guidance. Thank you to everyone who is attending today as we launch this new capability housed right here at Bay Seattle in Puget Sound. The Cetacean Desk pilot program, housed in our VTS, one floor above us, will integrate with the existing Whale Report Alert System, or RAS, which is already used by many local mariners, Puget Sound pilots, and the scientific community to improve awareness of the location of cetaceans in the Salish Sea. Our desk will be manned 24 hours a day by active duty and civilian Coast Guard employees in order to take and share sighting reports from professional mariners. By increasing situational awareness of the location and movement of the whales, we aim to collectively reduce negative human-whale interactions for mariners transiting the Puget Sound. I personally believe for the first part of this, to stand it up, for the program to be a success, the Coast Guard must lead and set the example. To that end, I've provided guidance and direction to my boat crews and cutters operating in the Puget Sound to report all whale sightings to our cetacean desk to improve the data integrity being collected and also to share that awareness to other mariners that are operating in our pristine waters here. Furthermore, we're in the process of getting each of our units and our counterparts in the Navy access to the RAS system so they can have real-time information and sightings, which will help them inform their safe transits. As we've developed this program over the past year, our team worked closely with our partners to identify the best way for the Coast Guard to integrate with a well-established community of tribes, organizations, and nonprofits that seek to protect the marine mammals with whom we share the Sound. This cetacean desk would not have been possible without the collaboration and assistance from many of you represented in this room, including, and this is a very long list, so bear with me, but I think it speaks to partnerships. We have the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, Washington State's Quiet Sound Initiative, the Puget Sound Partnership, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Governor's Office of Orca Recovery, OceanWise, Conserve.io, Orca Network, the Whale Museum, SoundWatch, Pacific Whale Watch Association, Marine Exchange, Orca Sound, the Seattle Aquarium, and the National Resources Defense Council, just to name a few. And additionally, we want to thank the Canadian Coast Guard, Transport Canada, and the ECHO program, whose work was tremendous and helpful for us to get this started. They shared a lot of knowledge and coordination from their lessons learned on their marine mammal desk. And I'd like to note that we're now in our 45th year as a cooperative vessel traffic service with the Canadian Coast Guard counterparts. And that's truly a model of international partnership right there. And I would also like to offer a special thanks to our federally recognized tribes here in the Puget Sound region who have been protecting and safeguarding our waters and the maritime marine mammals that ply them for time immemorial. Your guidance and wisdom were critical as we helped shape this cetacean desk. Lastly are the Coast Guard members that made it possible. So Lieutenant Commander Margaret Woodbridge and her team worked tirelessly. We had many team members build this cetacean desk from the ground up and really try to make sure that it is impactful and start right away with taking those reports. So I'd like to thank Margaret for her hard work as she's built this from the start to where we're launching today. So Margaret, thank you. And as we look to the future of the program, we will remain flexible as we carve out the niche here in the Puget Sound Cetacean Conservation Environment. We will continue to work closely with our partners and strengthen these relationships. We share the Salish Sea with the whales, and Sector Puget Sound is proud to play a part in protecting these amazing animals. Thank you very much for your time.
Next, Lynn Berry is the Seattle Branch Chief in NOAA Fisheries Protected Resources Division. She has been with NOAA for over 20 years, working on marine mammal conservation and endangered species recovery. Lynn leads NOAA's recovery program for endangered southern resident killer whales, served on the Governor's Orca Task Force, and works with many partners to raise awareness and implement recovery actions for the whales. Also a key partner in our program development. Lynn.
Thank you so much, everyone, for being here and for the invitation to talk to you today. Southern resident killer whale recovery, I've been working on for over 20 years, as you said. I'll get out my notes. So NOAA has a long-standing partnership with the U.S. Coast Guard, and this ranges from coordinating on oil spill response. The Coast Guard assists us with marine mammal strandings and large whale disentanglement actions, and we're partners in the Be Whale Wise campaign to educate boaters on responsible wildlife viewing in our waters. And we work together on southern resident killer whale recovery. Southern residents are one of NOAA's species in the spotlight, and that title recognizes their endangered status, their risk of extinction, their declining population. But it also notes that we have an idea of what the threats are, and we have a recovery plan in place to take action to address those threats. Things like ensuring there's sufficient Chinook salmon prey for the whales, and making sure that they can find that prey and they're not disturbed by vessel presence and sound. And also thinking about the contaminants in our waters and in our whales, and how that impacts their health. We have a Species in the Spotlight action plan, which highlights research, recovery actions, and partnerships. And some of those partnerships include the U.S. Coast Guard. You've heard a little bit about them already, ECHO in Canada and Quiet Sound in the U.S. And these are partnerships working with large commercial vessel industry to implement voluntary slowdowns to quiet the waters that the whales are foraging in. And we're seeing measurable reductions in speed and sound in the waters that the whales use. Now, with the launch of the Cetacean Desk, there's new opportunities to expand our partnerships and to integrate the U.S. Coast Guard and their activities into ongoing efforts to collect data on the movements of the whales and educate boaters about the whales to reduce the impacts, everything from sound to behavioral disturbance and the risk of ship strikes. So the Cetacean Desk I see as a key communications hub, bringing sightings into the whale report alert system from vessels and audiences that some of our networks haven't been reaching. So that's a new opportunity. And also helping us reach those vessel operators to get education about the whales through programs like Be Whale Wise, and also the Whales in Our Waters online tutorial for mariners. So the latest news story you may have heard about the Southern residents was a sad story about the loss of the newest calf in J-Pod, J-60. But today, I think we get to tell a happier story about new partnerships around education and action. And this gives me hope for the recovery of the Southern residents. It's not the only sign of hope. There's other things happening out there. We've got the Inflation Reduction Act and bipartisan infrastructure law, which is helping us with salmon habitat restoration, climate science, fish passage, some of those programs directly with our tribal partners and with the states, and the Cetacean Desk and helping address sound in our waters and protecting Southern residents is another one of those hopeful stories. So I think today is a worth celebration, and I really appreciate everyone being here and the partnerships with the Coast Guard and everyone involved in the Cetacean Desk. Thank you.
Thank you, Slynn. Next, I'd like to invite Vice Chairman Bochop from the Macaw Tribe up. Mr. G. Chad Bochop is an enrolled member of the Macaw Tribe and the Vice Chairman of the Macaw Tribal Council. He specializes in environmental protection and ocean policy and has developed long-standing relationships with federal and state partners in the realms of vessel traffic and oil spills. Vice Chairman, we're happy to have you.
Thank you, everyone. It is an honor and a pleasure to be here. My dad taught me when I was a younger man, never, ever keep a senator and an admiral waiting. Apologies in that regard. I appreciate so many familiar faces in the room. Admiral Metrick, sir, it is just a pleasure. Senator Cantwell, for everything you do for us, to allow us to continue to express our sovereignty. We have our state partners here with Carlos, Admiral. We've done some special work. Nikki Tischel, I like to tease. I knew her when she was Nicole, so that's an expression of we've worked together a number of years. When Lummy's in the room, and especially G.I. James, I like to single him out because I'm fairly confident he's the only person I know whose hair is whiter than mine. But, yeah, my dad taught me never upset the Lummies. What I would like to share with this important gathering are a couple of things. I would like to be able to display how our cultural identity is able to contribute to the work we are all gathered here to celebrate. As an example, we have many others, and part of what I would like to share with Senator Cantwell and the Admiral and our state partners is we've been mentored by you, ma'am, for years in regards to how to work legislation through, how to present our interests back in the other Washington. It can be challenging, but with your guidance, we've been extremely successful in addressing our treaty interests. The Niobe Emergency Response Towing Vessel made a save a couple of weeks ago They formally attached a towing line, if I recall it correctly. And Senator, without your input and guidance on that, we wouldn't have that valuable tool in the toolbox. We consider the save preventing an oil spill. And so that's what happens. We've had our share of oil spills out there. What we are able now to begin to continue to develop on is working with our Canadian partners in addressing certain increases in Canadian vessel traffic. The point I'm trying to make is there's a requirement for us, in order for us to be effective in meeting all of our responsibilities, we have to work together. We have to work together in a transboundary manner. We have to work together seamlessly in a government to government. We've had many mentors in that regard. We've worked closely with industry. I always like to point out Captain Mike Moore and Captain John Venture. I don't know. You know, and I would be derelict in this opportunity to express how we've been able, as a result of Senator Cantwell's contributions, provisions to the Coast Guard Authorization Act, we've been able to improve on our ability to express our sovereign interests in day-to-day activity. Senator Cantwell allowed the Coast Guard, authorized, that is to say, the Coast Guard, to enter into an MOU with the Macaw Tribal Council. And that addresses how I like to frame it in as enhancing tribal engagement, because tribal engagement, as this room is testimony to, is multifaceted. And here again, it takes all of us to work together. The MOU serves as that engagement document. The Coast Guard and their ability to look into a crystal ball, we recognized if we were to attach a work list to that MOU, that would allow us the means to identify those issues that we need to secure our working relationship. This cessation desk, and that's, forgive me, we've been working very closely. In this regard, we've been working very closely with the Coast Guard. It's vitally important to us because this is how we're able to expand our working knowledge, and we recognize and count on this to be an iterative process, but whaling is the apex of our spiritual beliefs. And our spiritual beliefs, I was taught as a young man, have to be aligned. We have to be disciplined, and then not only much like the Christianity, you have to get out into the world and share that discipline. And unless we take on that responsibility, there can be no physical balance in the world. And what I'd like to share with you is my understanding of we have one world. We have one world to work in and to protect. I was trained in the Power Doctor training called Tumanos. There's good and there's bad. It depends on what side you come down. Thank God I was trained in the good to follow the light. We understood we could walk amongst the treetops is a term I was taught. And we understood that teaching and discipline because of the strength of our belief in that faith. We also understood when it's time to wail, I have a whaling name is one of my Indian names. Strength of spirit to keep the canoe and the harpoon throw straight. We understood that we could communicate with the whale when everything was aligned. The whale would communicate with us and explain to our whaling captain, you're spiritually adequate. Your spirit is aligned with the world. You're physically worthy. And we understood that because of the strength of our belief in that faith. And what I've come to learn in my own personal journey is that is exactly the same strength of belief and faith that if you have the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And so what's important in all of this is beginning to recognize how diverse the Pacific Northwest is, how we depend on each other, and we just have so much gratitude to express that we've been so fortunate and blessed to work with the partners we've been able to work with. Senator, you lead the way. NOAA, the Puget Sound Partnership, EPA, we've networked with everybody, Transport Canada, the Canadian Coast Guard, Admiral Metrick was a mentor of mine. We did very well. The ECHO program and Quiet Sound had to work overtime to keep me in my lane because I kept wanting to grow the program. But we're very fortunate. Thank you all for attending. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We're happy to have Laura Blackmore, Executive Director of the Puget Sound Partnership, at our event today. Since 2019, Ms. Blackmore has served as the Executive Director of the Puget Sound Partnership, the Washington state agency charged with accelerating the collective effort to recover Puget Sound. Prior to her time at the partnership, she was a small business owner focused on providing facilitation services to public sector clients to bring focus, clarity, and accountability to collaborative salmon recovery efforts. Ms. Blackmore.
Thank you, Margaret. It's a true pleasure to be here today with so many of our wonderful partners in Puget Sound Recovery to celebrate the opening of the Coast Guard Cetacean Desk. And it's rewarding not only to see the realization of this concept and think about the beneficial effects that this program will have on southern resident orcas, but also to think about the past and all the conversations, collaboration, and hard work that led up to this moment. First, I'd like to say that we at the Puget Sound Partnership are grateful for our long-standing collaboration with the U.S. Coast Guard and especially the Vessel Traffic Service. A few years ago, the Puget Sound Partnership's Leadership Council visited the Vessel Traffic Service to discuss and brainstorm with the Coast Guard about the conservation and management of the southern resident orcas. These conversations and many others helped produce results like the Cetacean Desk. And I'm thankful that our partners are so willing to work together to find solutions to difficult problems. I also want to mention that we greatly appreciate the thorough preparation and ample engagement that the sector, headquarters, and NOAA have brought to this effort since last summer, and we're so excited to be here to see it culminate in today's public launch. Speaking as a member and co-organizer of Governor Inslee's Orca Task Force from a few years ago, I'm thrilled to see our community continue to find opportunities to adaptively manage and even outdo the initial task force recommendations. As many of you know, the southern resident orcas face a number of threats to their well-being, principally from the lack of their preferred prey, Chinook salmon, the effects of toxic chemicals on their ability to reproduce and nurture their young, and vessel traffic noise and disturbance. It's heartening to see the progress that we've made in addressing these threats in the last few years, but we know that we still have work to do to help the southern residents thrive. The environmental writer Adam Wells says in his book, The End of Eden, that preventing the worst effects of climate change and the decline of biodiversity is a colossal undertaking. But that means that the opportunities for making a positive difference are abundant everywhere. Wells considers at the end of his book both the challenges that we face and the worthiness of our aims and asks, what better goal is there to strive toward than the continuing flourishing of life itself in all its miraculous forms? Our actions matter. The Cetacean Desk, both in its immediate mission and the continued education that it provides, is a perfect example of how our actions can make a difference, in particular for protecting one of the species that makes our region so very special. I also want to extend a special thank you to Senator Cantwell for being here and for championing the southern residents in the federal arena over the past several years. We hope that as this desk proves its value, that long-term funding will support it. It always gives me hope to see our partners gathered together at events like this. It's through strong partnerships and robust funding that we will realize our vision for a thriving Puget Sound ecosystem and the health and well-being of the wildlife and the people who rely on it. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you. Now, it is my distinct privilege to introduce the Honorable Maria Cantwell, United States Senator for the state of Washington. Throughout her time in the Senate, she has been a strong advocate for both the Coast Guard and environmental and marine mammal protection and recovery. Senator Cantwell serves on numerous Senate committees, including as the chair of the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. It's an honor to have Senator Cantwell with us here today. Thank you.
It's so great to be here with Captain McDonald, with obviously Lynn and Laura, and everybody who has played such an incredible role in this effort today. And we know that we're going to see many, many great results out of this partnership. The Coast Guard is hosting us today, and I want to thank all of the men and women from the Coast Guard for their service to our nation. They do an incredible job in five different areas of responsibility, and oftentimes with not all the resources. So it's more important than ever to our economy, and we thank you for that leadership. You are helping us with the growth of shipping and tourism, development in the Arctic, securing the Pacific region, safeguarding our marine life, and of course the southern resident orcas. And so we just thank you for all those responsibilities. We're here today just standing a few hundred, yes, thank them. We're standing just a few hundred yards from Puget Sound, an economic and ecological engine for our region. And as the nation's second largest estuary, Puget Sound is home to hundreds of species, fish, birds, marine mammals, and much, much more. And so these resources that are supported here today, when we're talking about tribal issues, commercial interests, recreational interests, and thousands of jobs across our state, fighting for Puget Sound and for all of us to exist together is a critically important issue. In total, our maritime economy is worth $30 billion and supports over 140,000 jobs. So we must protect Puget Sound in all of that. We must continue to protect Puget Sound. So today, we are here to celebrate the victories we have won in trying to protect Puget Sound whales, including our endangered southern resident orcas. It's great to be here with NOAA, and I thank them for their longtime leadership. The scientists of NOAA have determined that there are three major factors contributing to orca decline. First, food, because 80% of the orca diet is salmon. In the bipartisan infrastructure bill, we included the largest recovery investment for salmon in history. This was a $2.8 billion grant funding, and you heard a little bit about it, but it is going to preserving salmon habitat, bolstering fisheries science, and making sure that Puget Sound cleanup and restoration happens. It also includes $1 billion for the National Culvert Removal and Restoration Grant Program, a program that I authored to address salmon blocking infrastructures under bridges and roads. And it doubled even more funding for the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund project, $300 million for salmon hatchery infrastructure, and nearly $30 million in salmon science right here in the state of Washington. So we are sitting here. We have to do is the threat facing orcas and pollution, including pollution from stormwater, and we have increased resources to improve stormwater quality, including a historic $71.8 million in Puget Sound Recovery Fund through EPA, the largest amount ever in a single year. So we're definitely also on the pollution side, and I know you're going to tell me that we have more to do in that area, but we're going to keep doing it. But the last issue is really the issue that we're here to talk about today, and that is the threat to the orca population from vessel traffic. Vessel noise makes it harder for orcas to hear, and when they are moving and searching for food, it can become complex, and certainly we don't want to repeat that of the fatal ship strikes on humpback whales in 2019 and 2020. So we're here today, proud to say, to announce a new partnership and technology that is going to help us. I was proud to author legislation to establish a program that uses locator technology and allows the Coast Guard, if you will, to act almost like air traffic controllers, trying to have large vessel traffic get out of the ways of our orca population, and certainly to other of our whale population. Now, I'm going to just call it the whale desk, if that's okay. The whale desk will operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and will serve as a vital tool for protecting whale populations in Puget Sound. This vessel traffic service enhancement is, I believe, a huge enhancement for our region, you could say even for our fishermen, and certainly for our orca population. We heard from the Coast Guard that the new desk will improve communication, coordination between vessel operators, the Coast Guard, NOAA, and scientists, and help mariners reduce noise, which is also critically important in this operation. So today, we have vessel operators, scientists, and Coast Guard coming together, which is really kind of a common sense approach, if you will. If you think about all the things that we fight for in Washington, D.C., this one was an easy one, if you will, a no-brainer. But thanks to all of you, because you are the ones who can implement this. These professionals manage the entire maritime transportation system. They boost our efficiency, they protect our environment, they help us move products across the globe, and now they will be ready to share and disseminate information that will help our whale population, including our beloved orcas. This approach, we can keep our economy moving, and we can keep whales moving too. In addition to the orcas, the whale desk will help protect migrating humpback, gray whales, minke whales, sperm whales, and other species that call on Puget Sound. And I'm proud that we have a maritime industry that is enthusiastically supporting this technology. That means we're all going to work together with this new tool. So I urge our resident and waterway users to report whale sightings to the whale desk. That means everybody can get in on this game a little bit and feed information into the system. It's easy by calling 206-217-ORCA. You can reach the ORCA desk and you, oh, there we go, okay. And you can help have sightings yourself. If you report a sighting to the whale desk, that data will be saved. It will be used by researchers to help understand the whale population in the Salish Sea, further contribute to the recovery of orcas and other species for years to come. As I said, we're all in it together. But I'm very proud today. I want to thank Nikki Tuchel from my team, of course, because she does such great work on all these issues. But we're here today to thank the Coast Guard for implementing the whale desk and protecting whales in our region and giving us a solution that we can all work with. Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you, Senator. Finally, we couldn't have the ceremony in the VTS due to it being an active watch floor and not quite large enough for this great crowd. So we wanted to share some footage we put together of the cetacean desk in action.
I am Lieutenant Commander Margaret Woodbridge, and I'm the program manager for the Cetacean Desk here at Sector Puget Sound. The Cetacean Desk is a pilot program hosted in the Puget Sound Vessel Traffic Service. Our mission is to help reduce the impacts of vessel traffic on at-risk whales in the Puget Sound region. This desk will collect and disseminate near real-time information on whale location to commercial mariners in the managed vessel traffic system. Knowing where whales are allows mariners to take mitigating actions such as changing course or slowing down in order to avoid striking or disturbing whales in their vicinity. VTS participants can also report sightings directly to the cetacean desk by phone or radio. And we're encouraging all members of the public to report sightings through the Whale Report app, Whale Alert app, or Orca Network, all of which feed into the same alert database, Whale Report Alert System. Really, the more data we have coming into this system, the better we're able to inform large ships where whales are around them. This data is also shared with scientists in the region who are studying whales, and so reporting sightings not only immediately helps large ships avoid adversely impacting whales, but it also helps regional scientific experts for whales.
On behalf of Captain McDonald and Sector Puget Sound, I want to reiterate our appreciation for your support of the Cetacean Desk and for being here to celebrate its official opening with us today.
Thank you so much, Margaret. Thank you so much for Coast Guard for hosting us today. We'll now transition to a Q&A with media. I'll invite Lynn Berry and Laura Blackmore and Senator Cantwell back up to the podium, and we'll have questions on topic of the Whale Desk.
Do you mind putting the curtain back?
Would you